James, who are they? When we talked about that ship that was over your house, what were you able to find out?
Well, basically, this group was, a lot of people refer to them as Pleiadians or Plejarans. And they didn't really give too many specifics on you know, who they were or anything else. It wasn't that more important to them. Even identity is not that important to them. But what was more important to them is you know, helping us to evolve and helping me to evolve to understand more about why they're here and you know, their purpose in coming at this time.
Did you come out and witness the craft?
No, actually, what happened to me in the beginning is everybody else was seeing the craft and I wasn't seeing them, and it was getting frustrating. And
what do you mean? They were looking at it and so were you, but you couldn't see it?
No, I would come out. You know, they would come and other people would see it, and I would come out and I'd look up and it'd be gone.
And, you'd go back in and come out again.
Yeah. And I asked on the inner level, there was a telepathic conversation going on quite a bit because we had this link up. And I asked, why are you not allowing me to see the ships? And they said, basically, because we don't want you to be using your outer appearance, you know, your outer,
That word you're looking for? That outer telepathy? What is it?
Well, they wanted me to go in and establish the contact on the inner level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not using my outer senses. They wanted me to go focus more on the inner level, because the more I focus on my outer senses and out looking for them, it was hampering the connection, the telepathic connection to the inner senses that they wanted me to continue to work on and develop. But later on, they started showing themselves quite a bit, and when I got the point, you know, that it's not an outer connection that we're trying to find, you know, and create here. It's an inner connection.
So the craft, though, was something physical, right?
Exactly.
What did it look like once people described it?
Well, it was pretty much a brilliant, shiny, illuminated disc shape, you might say, kind of a disc-shaped object.
Just one?
Well, just one in the beginning, but then they would, I mean, sometimes up there we'd see 25. We've seen up to 50 in one night.
50?
Yeah, they're just coming and just over and over and over again. I brought up a lot of people Michael Miley's one who writes for UFO Magazine and a lot of other articles, and he came up and it was funny. He told me, he said, "I'm a UFO virgin. You know, I've never seen one, but I've interviewed all these people."
Hmm. I'm the same way.
Yeah, and I said, well, come on up, you know, and check it out. And he saw 14 in one night.
He must have fascinated him.
Yeah, he said, these are not satellites. They're making right-angle turns. They're, you know, they're going, you know, they'd traverse the whole sky in just a matter of seconds sometimes.
And whereabouts is the region you're talking about?
This is up in Trout Lake, Washington, at the base of the Yakima Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Steve will have a lot to say about that, because he's done the history on that. It has a, you know, 100-year history of UFO activity, you know, some of it going back to Kenneth Arnold when he first sighted the UFOs.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
47 or something like that?
Yep.
But in his writings concerning that event, he said that he lost sight of the UFOs when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams. And that actually puts them right in our backyard.
Did you ever question yourself, James, why me? Or are there lots of James Gillilands on this planet that are getting these kinds of visitations? And I assume you're not an abductee, are you?
No, I wouldn't call myself an abductee in any way.
Okay.
There are all kinds of people getting these kinds of visitations, and a lot of people don't know the source. They think they're receiving angelic messages or you know, and it doesn't matter the source. What matters is that the end result, you know, that people end up, you know, expanding in consciousness and doing the right thing and shifting towards service to humanity and cleaning up the environment.
Have you been aboard the craft?
Yeah, one time actually in a physical one, and then the other time was a non-physical.
As far as the physical one, can you describe what it looked like on the inside? This stuff always fascinates me, what they look like.
It's not very fascinating to be inside them, because there's hardly anything in them. They're very, the one I was in was very kind of bland in a way.
And there's no equipment?
There is equipment, but it's not like all the dials and knobs and things that people would think. It's very, it's hard to explain. It's almost like these ships are living and they...
Almost I don't want to say orgasmic, yeah. Organic.
Yeah, we have a picture of one that's actually stepping down in frequency.
Maybe they are.
And it's pretty amazing because it looks like it's alive, and it's non-physical, and it's stepping into this dimension, and it's not totally physical yet. And when you look at it, it almost looks alive, and the ships do totally align with the occupants, and there's a link between the two of them.
What kind of propulsion system?
Oh, they have. Well, I didn't even see it. Actually, it wasn't visible, but. They have different types of propulsion systems. Some they have different types of drives. One's an interstellar drive. Some drives are just cruising around the Earth with the magnetic fields. And then they have the more advanced ones can jump dimensions and have time travel capabilities as well.
What do the Pleiadians look like?
I tell you, the ones I saw were exquisitely beautiful. They're very refined, you might say, in genetics. And
do we look like them?
Very much so. They're our ancestors, basically.
We're the genetic version, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're kind of the, you might say, Heinz 57 version.
I mean, the same height generally as us? Or are they smaller?
The ones I experienced were a little taller.
6 feet, 6.5 feet?
Yeah, a little over six.
Okay. How did they treat you?
Very respectful, much more respectful than I probably deserved, you might say.
Why? Did you fight them or anything?
No, not in any way whatsoever. It's just that I was in such awe of their beauty and the frequency that comes from them that the energy exchange was just so incredible. But they would seem to refer to me almost in the same way, in a very loving, respectful manner. More so than I would even see in myself, you might say.
But you are convinced that we are the genetic altered version of them, huh?
I have no doubt whatsoever.
Did they talk about that at all?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, well, tell me.
Well, basically what happened is it was probably 20-something million years ago were some of the first colonies here. And they were Lyrian colonies, and they were a group of explorers and conquerors. And those are actually their ancestors as well, because they went from there to several other systems, and then they came from the Pleiades system to the Earth after that. And there's actually three planets that they colonized, and there was Earth, and everybody has a different name for this depending on which culture you go from, but Earth, Mars, and Melona, or some people call it Maldek, or they have different names for it, but... there is a missing planet that actually exploded, and it's our asteroid belt now.
Yeah, and there was also something that hit us, they said. I was just reading it, that during our formation on this planet.
Yeah.
And who knows what happened to that thing.
Yeah, that was in the very beginning stages, like quite a long time ago. But we actually had one of the colonies that came here was a Pleiadian colony, and that started the what they call mythological societies of Atlantis and Lemuria or Mu, but they weren't mythological. They were real colonies that were set up here, and they're very large colonies. But again, some wars broke out, and actually an asteroid ended up hitting the Earth, and everybody had to start over as primitives. The Earth wasn't even hardly habitable.